So that's where we lived for 4 years.
All right, 7 minutes has passed. We are now at item five. Henry, if you'd like to.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome back from our break. In close, please find a budget versus actual expenditure update for the CSERA expenditures for the year 2015 and for the 6 months ended 2016. Inside the packet, you'll find two reports. The first report is a mid-year status report for 2016, which covers the period January through June. And for that analysis, we took the budget of 2016 and broke it into 50% half year so we can get the actuals to compare. For the 2015, it was straight off our results that we reported in our CAFR, which we presented to you earlier this year. And within the updates, they're broken down into total CSERA expenditures, total administrative, and total non-administrative expenditures. So there's three sections. The packet is broken down. Page 1 through 5 is the 6 months ended 2016, and page 6 through 10 is 2015. So to summarize, I'd like to begin speaking about 2015 because that's a full year that's already been reviewed and examined by our external auditors, Brown Armstrong. So for prior year, 2015, the total CSERA expenditures amounted to $9.9, almost $10 million, of which 8.1 was for administrative and 1.8 was non-administrative. Administrative expenditures are all the services provided by the executive, administration, accounting, information technology, benefits, and member services departments. It's important to note that these administrative expenditures are the ones that are subject to the California Government Code administrative limit of 21 basis points. So last fiscal year, 2015, our total administrative expenditures amounted to $8.1 million. But the limit, 21 basis points, of our actual accrued liability from our latest Siegel report, which was $8.4 billion, that gives us a limit of 17.7. So our administrative expenses of 8.1 against 17.7 are about 10%, well under the limit. For this fiscal year, the 6 month ended, CSERA expenditures amounted to $4.9, almost $5 million.
Henry, where are you? I'm lost. Where
absolutely,
are you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's start on page 6 of the report. Page six.
Got it. Okay.
Is the total expenditures of CSERA. This is the 2015 year. This schedule combines both the administrative and the non-administrative expenditures. And the way it's structured is salaries and benefits begins on top. And the total salaries and benefits for the organization amounted to 7.2 actuals 2015 against a budget of 7.7, leaving a favorable variance of $574,000, which is about 7% of budget. That's just in salaries and benefits. The operating expenses follow below, and we'll speak about individual highlights. Yes,
Jim. Under the operating expenses, can you define or explain to me what DOIT is?
Department of Information Technology. It's a very complicated acronym that we use. It's basically expenditures that get allocated to us from the county's Department of Information Systems.
Okay.
And those will trickle down in 2016 and beyond. A big part of that was their allocation for being combined to the organization. A lot of upkeep of the sub-ledger system, and that was a big charge.
Okay. Thank you.
So that was that. So over on turning the page to page 7 is the grand total. That was what I was referring to. The total expenditures down at the bottom The actual is 9.9 against a budget of 10.7. It's a favorable variance of $764,000, about 7% of budget. So this is the total agency-wide expenditures, includes the administrative and non-administrative. So inside of this number is the administrative number that gets reported on the CAFR. So if I have you look at page 8, the one that follows, this is the administrative expenditures that gets a schedule all to itself on the CAFR, and this was the numbers that were publicized. However, the CAFR rules don't require a budget to actual comparison. They just want you to report the actuals. So the purpose of this update is for the board to see how our actuals are in relation to our budget and the opportunity for questions and feedback. So that's how we put this together. So page 8 and 9 are the total administrative expenditures, and these are the ones that are subject to the limit. On page 9 at the bottom, you can see that our budget was 9.078, and administrative expenditures were 8.1, leaving a favorable variance of $962,000, 11% of budget. So this is the number that gets compared to the 21 basis points of our actuarial accrued liability.
Yeah.
Which was 17.7 was the limit. So this is trending at about half of that.
2015 actual is 9.9 million, and on page 9 it's 8.1 million. What's the difference between those two? Just in the rough and dirty.
On page
So the other 1.8 million, where's that? In the number on page 7, 9.9 million. Versus 8.1 on page 9.
Absolutely. That's the non-administrative expenses, the difference.
Yeah, well, just because I know there's a lot of duplication. What would you call the non-administrative?
Non-administrative is the investments departments, the disaster recovery, and the legal department.
Thank you.
Those aren't subject to the limit, but they're part of the budget, and they're part of the total agency-wide CSER expenditures. But we break them down, admin, non-admin. And the reason it's important, too, not only for the limit, is also because it gets called out in the CAFR as a separate item.
Henry, I don't know if you know this. Maybe you do. With regards to the disaster recovery budget, are we okay with San Diego now? If we go down or if something happens up here, earthquake or something like that, we can get to San Diego and they can cut our checks and we can be all right?
We have a live hot site that's been updated with our firewall, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're okay. And we're okay. Are we at 100% now with the disaster recovery budget, or are there still steps that we have to go through?
There's still some that are, there's more things that we're looking at putting down in San Diego, but as far as the pension administration system goes, we have a full live hot site down there. Does that answer your question?
When New Orleans got flooded,
and
they couldn't get into their building and they couldn't get their checks cut and everything was on paper and they lost it all, was when I started, and I think other trustees started saying, we need something to do, and that's when we started, and that was a long time ago. It's good to know that we're finally there.
And we've also been, with all of our HR and IT transitions, we've been updating our documentation and adding additional procedures and revising current ones. And we're looking at, for the new year in 17, actually doing a live disaster recovery run through and all of that.
Great.
And we're looking at some other areas so that, we're looking at some other areas too to
facilitate
that.
Okay. I just wanted to, thank you. Sorry to interrupt, Henry,
absolutely. It's a very interactive process, and we're going to expect a lot of,
Henry, while you're on 2015, I think it might be helpful to the board to go down some of the key large variances and give a little bit of background. For example, salaries being favorable, one guess is that the reason for that is not that we're underpaying all of our people, it is that we had people in the budget that we expected to hire and did not.
Absolutely.
For example, that's just an illustration, but we do have some fairly big variances, and it might be helpful to describe the background behind those.
Absolutely. You know, the variance process, when you compare to budget, it could reveal a couple of different things. Either that something got overlooked in the budget, some was estimated missed, or there's something in the actuals that's missing. And part of this, I wasn't here in the year, but part of this leads to the absence of a deputy CEO. There was some staff that was not here, and that could lead to some of the variance. But the fact that it's under is a good sign. So that is one of the important considerations, you know, that we have on here for that year. Going into next year, it reveals itself that we had absences for deputy CEO. We were looking for deputy attorney. The accounting manager position was vacant. There was some accounting personnel. There's a variety of personnel, so it reveals itself in a favorable variance, but not that's where we want it to be. We want it to be as close as we can to our budget process.
And when it comes to accounting, I will point out on page 3, under accounting division, you'll see that salaries were over, but benefits were under. Usually they move in parallel. But what we had happen was that we actually had some temporary accounting management help. Which we don't pay out benefits on, but that got rolled into that salaries line. So that's how you see that.
Okay.
That was prior to Henry being here. So.
That's how
and,
it shows.
And then same thing with the executive support staff. We are under. We would have been even more under, except we did have someone assist our compliance officer with some a temporary person was here helping with a number of data projects and that type of thing. Because you might look and say, well, that looks kind of low, and that's why.
But in going down to 2015, I do want to follow up on what John is mentioning, is also look at some other highlights and differences. So let's go to page 6, right underneath the section for operation expenditures, and moving down the 2015 actuals. Some of the ones that I'm going to touch on is board and staff memberships. You'll see that there's a $21,000 unfavorable variance, and that could be as a very good example of where we, about the middle of the page there, in case people are looking, board and staff memberships. We budgeted $5,700 and we spent $27,000. Well, there's legitimate reasons for the 27. We didn't get a chance to include it. There was SACRS, California Special District Association, CalPERS, a lot of memberships that were needed showed up there. Recognize that. Most of the expenses are in line, but I'm going to gravitate over to the office expenditure section, about the middle of the page, total office expenditures. That's showing a big $244,000 favorable variance, but there's a reason behind that. It's not like we're saving money or we're getting our projects done. We were speaking about information technology, and there's still some disaster recovery projects that are pending, that are ongoing. Our pension administration is safe, but we also want to take advantage of this particular project called Virtual Network, which ties in all our servers together. Our IT manager is working very hard on that. There's cloud backup services that are pending, that are ongoing throughout, that were planned for in 2015, are ongoing in 2016, and we'll see them. And there's continuing specialized CPAS project consulting that's needed. So that is the reason why you have favorable variances, because they haven't been spent on. But within that, we were speaking about recruitment. You'll see that recruitment costs, we budgeted $1,300 thinking that that's all we needed, but we spent $17,000. That had to do with looking for our staff and filling our positions. We made a payment to a recruitment office, or contract for Alliance, to help with our search for a deputy CEO, and that's what the reason was that for. Moving on down the line there, in our professional services section, one of the big items that we want to talk about is our outside legal fees for non-investment. Right. Now, in a total CICERA expenditures budget, in past years, this was an item that wasn't included because it wasn't subject to the limit, it wasn't presented in the administrative section, but it was an ongoing expense of the organization. So in the spirit of transparency of information and to add it, we want to call it out and we want to plan for it in the next year's budget cycle. So it's part of the ongoing organization. And what these costs have to do, they're for pending active litigation, general fiduciary pension analysis, tax advice, and district and employer matters. So they're necessary items. But in the next year's budget cycle, we'll have a budget for that. And in the consolidation, it reveals itself.
But we didn't have that in 2016, that budget either, right?
In 16?
In the 16 budget, it's also zero.
Correct, in the 16.
Because I know that Reed Smith is very concerned to see a zero budget for outside legal expenses. It's disappointing to them.
I'm so concerned.
You've
exceeded very nicely.
I know. Which draws another interesting thing. This is just a vagary of the calculations or the program, I suspect. If you have anything budgeted, then the budgetary variance is dramatic. But if you have zero budgeted, and you spend $300,000, then the budget variance is 100%. But, I mean, if you just look at those two, it could be kind of misleading. Recruitment had $1,300 budgeted, so we're 1,183% over. But outside legal expenses had zero budget, so we're only 100% over. Sounds better.
It sounds better.
Yes, but it's
right.
But it's not better.
It's not better. But right. I think the important thing is to look at the fact that we're missing a budget and focus on that.
Right.
And to include it in the next cycle, and talk to the person who actually did this Excel formula and see what they were doing.
Right.
That's the next conversation.
Right.
But that's I like to look at the dollar computation. You know, that's where it focuses on.
And let me suggest that rather than 100%, you put NA there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Dividing by zero, you're going to get infinity, not...
That's right.
So that'll eliminate that comparative challenge.
Yeah, I just want to jump in defense of the lawyers everywhere.
I'm sorry, we haven't allowed any time for that.
It's a need defense.
Are you not an attorney? Harvey is very shy, as you know. No, it's tough to budget these things. Every time we make a decision, controversial or not, there's a potential consequence that somebody's going to sue us or take issue with it. There are the things that just parachute in, like the Rodeo Hercules matter last year. You can't plan for that. So we for the sake of saying it, I mean, we should understand that the legal expense is going to be episodic. It's not going to be predictable. I don't care who you are. You can be the most brilliant person in the world. If you can come up with a legal budget that actually winds up in the true-up being right on, God love you, because it just can't happen. So we should know and just expect that these things are really not within our control necessarily.
That's true. I agree with that. But I think just in terms of budgeting, there ought to be a plug figure. As far as I'm concerned, you could put $200,000 in there and you could be either favorable or unfavorable. But there should be a plug figure because we know they're going to be outside legal.
No, exactly.
We're doing our damnedest here as a board to ensure that.
So for a plug figure, though, I mean, I would say look at a five-year, look back 5 years or 7 years and look at that trail of decisions, consequence, stuff you didn't know about, and at least have a realistic plug that reflects on, unusual circumstances, or else you're going to have the same discussion about why the plug number was too low relative to what actually happened. That's all I'm saying.
And that's a good point. And when it comes to attorney fees, when it comes to litigation, I usually I usually don't budget for litigation unless there's active cases that we have a good estimate on what's going to happen in the future for that cost. But there should be some sort of baseline, okay, fiduciary counsel is generally this much to attend meetings and that kind of thing. That,
right, exactly.
We'll try and put a realistic number in there that's somewhat reasonable for next year. But just, you know, the board keep in mind that when it comes to litigation and as other things pop up, you know, very much what you were talking about, that it's very hard to foresee what some of those costs will be for the plan.
It is what it is.
Well, we are trying to increase transparency.
And that's appreciated. And this discussion isn't intended to be anything other than trying to get the numbers better and having them be meaningful, or else we'll be sitting here looking at variances.
Absolutely.
And having, you know, the apparent discussion that we're out of whack and we're really not.
No, absolutely. But that's the whole purpose for me, and also for ongoing, is the feedback, because there will be a budget cycle process where we ask, come before the board and ask for a new budget, and there's going to be assumptions that go into that calculation, and that's good feedback on how these assumptions were prepared. Some of them are going to be based on history, some of them are going to be based on a plan, and some of them are going to be based on what is the best professional guess that we have. We may have to look elsewhere, but we all put it, we all come together, and we will prepare that. But the picture at this point is what it is, and that's what it reveals.
I get a little concerned about any of the ones that have been budgeted as zero, you know, because especially if they've had any items attached to them. Not to nitpick on this because it's small stuff, but comparative. But 2015, for instance, it shows postage was budgeted at $73,000. But if you look at 2016, it shows postage budget is zero. That makes no sense to me. Unless it's a different postage, and then we only charged $83 to it in 2016, good God, it was $83 to send me board packets for the year. You know, so.
What page are you looking at?
I'm looking at page 5.
Look on page 1.
I may be comparing apples and oranges here. But
page 1 is 43.
Let's say 43.
That's a non-administrative budget?
Yeah, that's a non-administrative.
So that's for investments and legal.
They don't have any. They might have sent a packet.
Most of the stage runs through admin.
For a small amount. So the comparable is page 2.
Page 2, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, page 1 to page 6.
Okay.
Page 1 shows $43,000 budget against $35,000 expense. That's more in line. That's a better estimate of what we're trying to do. These are the consolidated versions.
Okay.
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 Except one is for 6 months and the other one is for a full year.
So these mid-budget numbers?
Yes.
Are you just taking the overall budget and dividing by 12, or do you allocate certain months, like if we have a membership that we know we have to pay in August, you know, and don't pay anything else the rest of the year, are you still dividing that by 12, or does the budget hit that directed?
For the purpose of this presentation, we took the budget and just did a half year, 50%.
Okay.
But there are some things that lend itself. For example, some of the board membership fees.
Mm-hmm.
They're driven in the second half of the year. Some of the premium that we're going to speak of here, some of the insurance, property liability, they're premium payments that are paid once a year. And so on an ongoing basis, for the next update, we're going to try and really allocate a little more closely as to where the timing of expenditures are going to occur to prevent these zero to budget or actuals that are higher than budget, because the expenditures we know do not come in, 50%.
Right.
Henry, going on that, following up on Todd's question, what I'm looking at is the 6 month actuals where we've got benefit statements, for example, at zero, although we have a budget of 37.5. I'm guessing that what we are looking at is a timing issue.
Correct.
That we actually pay for it once a year. And there's another one down here that looks like the same thing. Have you considered accruing? I mean, that's I think to some degree what really Todd was describing as well, where we have every reason to expect that over a 12-month period, we're going to have $37,000 worth of benefit statement expenses. So we accrue 6 months' worth.
Absolutely. That's the concept of the soft close that we're driving to. We're at a minimum, we wanted to look at things on a quarterly basis and pick up expenditures that we know. And that's the purpose of this exercise here, is certainly at June 30th, accrue some expenditures that we know it's in our plan. Our budget cycle is a plan. Not only is a tool to measure your variances, but it's a plan. We plan for these expenditures. And in speaking with the other departments and speaking with the collective people that devise that, they give me information to accounting, and they say, this expense, it's time for this. Maybe it's a conference that's going to occur in the second half of the year or in the first quarter of the year. And so we're going to go to a quarterly computation and try and prepare a budget that times our expenses a little more closely.
Good.
So for this presentation, to get it on the on the docket, we took the budget and we just cut it in half.
And the timing issues are the same with the CPAS maintenance support. We pay that in the latter part of the year, as well as board elections.
So. Those were my three.
There you go.
Jumped out.
Yeah.
Okay, let you get back to your presentation.
Well, absolutely, and we were talking a lot of valuable information, and everything's going to go back into the brain tank. But I'd like to just make sure we left off on page 8, and just make sure that if there's any, page 8 was the 2015 administrative expenditures. This is what this schedule was, the one that was presented in the CAFR, and is the one that's subject to the limit. If there's no questions on that, I'm going to travel on. You know, page 9 was the...
I'm sorry, just one question on this page.
Absolutely.
On OPEB, in 2015, we took that as a zero budget item. I didn't go back to look and see if it's carried forward, because that's obviously going to be an expense we can anticipate.
OPEB was a year-end calculation. It was an audit calculation to fund the OPEB liability.
Right.
It wasn't included in the budget because it was an unknown item at the time. It was, it's known in the sense what it is, but it was unknown in the sense of the dollar amount. So we have it as an item. It's going to be included in the 2017. You're going to see the same thing in 2016, but we don't have a charge because it's going to be known at the end of the year what the dollar amount is.
But I'd certainly like to see us continue to expense that item and budget that item, because it's a real item.
Absolutely.
And we're not, otherwise.
Just to be clear on that, the line above that says staff retiree health care allocation,
mm-hmm.
That's actually because we're not, obviously, we're not pre-funding our retiree health for our employees. So that line actually shows the pay-as-you-go amount of the premiums for the year. So there's actually two entries going into here. One, the OPEB line is the offsetting liability entry, and then the other one is the pay-as-you-go, the actual amount of premiums that we're paying out. So I just wanted to make that clarification.
That's the old way of accounting for it, what's pay-as-you-go. Interesting, we've got both. I mean, ultimately, we presumably go to strictly the actuarial calculation. And we've got a fund, and we put money into the fund, and then the payments are drawn out of the fund.
Out of the fund.
Right.
Right.
But what we account for as an expense,
right,
is the amount going into the fund that Milliman last year, to my knowledge, for the first time, gave us the expense cost for.
Yeah. And they're currently working on the new census numbers for this year, so that'll be coming back to the board for consideration.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part. Working on the new figures for what? The sheriff?
Census.
Share of.
Our new census data.
Census data, okay.
And preparing that information. And we'll be bringing that back to the board on and having a discussion on pay-as-you-go versus pre-funding.
Because we certainly want to continue to be as transparent as possible on OPEB expenses, too, so that's something we talk about in the past.
So, John, you just mentioned we got something from Milliman.
They did the actuarial work on the OPEB, on the retiree liability, medical liability.
Yeah, for the end of last year.
Okay, but not a full valuation?
They didn't do, that's something that's in progress right now.
Well, they did a valuation.
They did an analysis that showed, okay, if we do this, this is the impact.
Okay, but it's not.
And that was necessary, and I had to acknowledge it. And Okay. We went through those steps last year.
But it wasn't a full GASB 45 style valuation?
I'm not sure that it was 100% compliant with GASB 45, but it had a lot of the same elements that would be in that disclosure.
So when we were doing the budget last year, I know I brought it up and Deborah brought it up and other trustees were interested in making our full ARC. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I thought we were told that evaluation was going to be forthcoming. Mm-hmm. And how I remember it is, it was like in the works at the time, and now we're a year or 11 months later. Do we have a time frame when we're going to get that document?
It'll be in the next few months. It'll be coming back.
So
we can have, and there was a liability that was brought up at that time, but mm-hmm. for us, we wanted to separate, okay, look and see what our experience then was, mm-hmm. and do the analysis again.
Okay, so when we get the budget, since we're not going to have that document and it doesn't sound like we're having that discussion, what are your thoughts right now in terms of what number are you going to put in the budget? Are you going to put like an estimated full ARC number, or are you just going to do the PAYGO piece, and then if we elect to pay the full ARC, that will just make a budget adjustment?
Yeah, so what I would foresee is that we do a similar type budgeting that I shouldn't say we have in the past because we didn't budget the OPEB in the past. But basically, we would budget the pay-as-you-go, mm-hmm. but we'll estimate what the premiums are for next year. Mm-hmm. And then also we'll put, you know, this $249,000 is a calculation. We'll redo the calculation. It'll be somewhat like that. Mm-hmm. And that'll be included in the budget. And then when we, when Milliman comes back with a report and we present it to the board, it would be a mid-year budget adjustment item.
Okay. Not to get too in the weeds, but have you given them direction on terms of, like, you know, if we do set up a trust, like what kind of rates returns we're looking at, what kind of amortization schedule? Have they been given that direction?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have all of those assumptions and more.
It's in a good hand because it was John's protege that's working
right. on it. You remember my protege. he's fully trained.
Good.
Okay, I'm good.
We left off on page 10, the administrative section of 2015. This information we've spoken of before, but down at the very bottom of page 10, you know, the actual expenditures of 1.8 against 1.6, you know, show unfavorable variance of $197,000, but a lot of that has to do with what we spoke before about the outside legal, when you see some of the deficits up there, and also the disaster recovery initiatives that are ongoing that are offsetting. Okay, we wish to go over now to 2016. If 2015 is no questions on that, we can always go back to it. Now, traveling over to page 1, page 1 is the six-month status update, which is the same format except it's 50%. As Todd mentioned, we just take the budget and take 50% of it. And moving on down the line, our salaries and benefits are still trending at favorable variance, $383,000, 9% of the budget. Some of the highlights we want to look at is, as we spoke earlier, the benefit statements. You know, it's really about a $75,000 budget, but half of it is $37,000. So that's already penciled in for the second half of the year when the benefit statements costs are going to hit. Down to about the middle section, office expenditures, we'll see that CPAS maintenance support. This is the opposite. We have some budget, but zero costs. Same with computer consulting. And even in the service and software contracts, we're under budget. But this has to do with ongoing initiatives that we have, as we spoke of. You know, the disaster recovery costs, the VM software project, looking at proposals and quotes, ongoing to make our plan assets more safer. our recruitment line item we spoke of, that's ongoing, not only for the deputy CEO, but also for the deputy legal counsel. And that's what causes that line item to show unfavorable. Moving on down to the professional services side, we have external auditor. We have a budget of $37,005, expenditures of $58,000. This has to do with the GASB 67 and 68 work that was done by our outside auditor, Bron Armstrong. And we are discussing a plan to figure out a method to pass on some of these fees to our employer districts, because GASB 68 is really for the benefit of our districts. So we're trying to figure out a fair and equitable way on how to do that. Board election, we have a budget of $25,000 against zero expenditure. That expenditure just came in our office and is going to appear, and it's in the second half of the year. But to follow the accrual concept, next time we have a budget update discussion, we're going to accrue costs the best we can so we can time them well.
Can I stop you for a second?
Absolutely.
I want to roll the tape back to the GASB discussion. So what would be the basis for trying to pass through an expense to the employers? What's the thinking there?
It could be the basis on an allocation formula based on the dollar amount of the NPL in relation to the total. We'd use something that's published in the Siegel report, what each share is, or maybe we would do a fixed rate calculation.
So you're questioning why would we charge back?
Yeah, I'm more
expense?
in the
because it's
the
68.
It's, the why.
It's for the 68 GASB 68 implementation, which is on the reporting side for the employers, and 67 is for the pension plan.
Okay.
So our external auditor is auditing the 68 information that was then provided to the employer. And the employers were given notification last year when we were, prepping for implementing 68 that they would. The first year, we decided, okay, there's a lot of in-depth work that needs to be done initially, so that the plan was absorbing. But going forward, every year, the employers will be charged a portion of that cost.
And is that a discussion that's already been had with the employers? I mean,
yes.
Are they aware of that and they're accepting that?
Yeah. So we're still waiting for the last invoices to come through so that we can apportion the expenses and get those invoices out. But they are very much aware of that.
Okay. And are they, I assume they're in a, are they then in agreement with it, or
so when Pepper came at when 68 was coming out, it was explicit to us as an employer that we would be bearing the cost. It's as if Cicera's actuary is doing us a favor, doing the work for us instead of us doing it. It was pretty well known. In fact, we even budgeted for it, but evidently you've made a decision not to, which, you know, that's fine.
We will be
going forward.
Charging.
No,
for
yeah.
The initial year, no,
yeah.
But yeah, yeah.
So.
Okay. I just want to emphasize that.
In the rollout, there was meetings when GASB 68 was being launched. Before it actually became on the books, there was discussions about cost sharing and what the cost structure. What I was referring to is what is the formula that we're going to use to allocate fairly, equitably. But the discussion and the notice went to employers before this.
And whatever that formula is, there will be an allocation, and we will bill it this year. I my perspective would be a mistake to have more than the starting year, one in which we didn't ask for reimbursement. Once you get a few years out there, now we've got a pattern of not billing for it, and now it becomes a real problem to bill for it. So I think we want to make sure whatever formula we elect to use, that we make sure we put in place this year.
It's effective July 1st of 2017, right? Those rates, when it'll start being included?
The rates. So it's for, yeah.
So what is John asking, what we do between now and July 1st? Is that what your question is?
Well, once we ensure that we've captured all the expense, we're going to divvy it up and send the invoices out.
Right. July 1st, 2017, it's part of their ongoing contributions.
Well, no, it won't be rolled into the valuation. It'll be a separate charge that the employers will receive.
So it's separate from the
contribution? So we'll bill them, okay. We'll invoice them and bill them separately.
I thought it was all part, including the contribution, but it's a separate, they'll get two bills, contribution, and then the administrative costs?
Yeah, so they'll receive an invoice that is then paid, and it doesn't have anything to do. It's not run through the valuation at all.
Right.
Now, what about the member side of that, though? How are they doing that with the
members? The member won't pay for that.
No, I thought the member does pay for the administrative expenses.
No, this is just for the preparation of the GASB 68 reporting and auditing. It's very much an employer cost. I mean, if the employer decides to do something to, you know, pass that on to the employee, that's up to them.
That's different than the thing that we talked about when we got down to the 60-40 breakout. What's different
that's
between
that? That's the explicit admin expense load, which is different than this.
I'm confused.
Okay.
What's the difference between the two? Why we have that expense, we're also doing a second time doing the admin expense?
So this is a separate expense directly related to preparing the information so that employers can do their GASB 68 disclosure.
Oh, it's only for that.
The explicit administrative expense load had to do with how we're apportioning the administrative expenses of the CSERA fund.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does now, yeah.
We received a lot of requests. Todd can probably share on this. The employers needed the GASB 68 information so they could prepare their CAFRs, which concluded at June 30th. Many folks, in fact, all of them, had June 30 fiscal year end, which are different than ours. Mm-hmm. That's why the questions were pressed. When is the GASB 68 report coming out? So it's for their benefit to prepare their CAFRs. So it's just audit fees that get passed on to them. And that's where we're running. Our next call is going to be to the external auditors to hurry up and submit the bills so we can prepare those invoices and get the bills out, and so it's not a surprise. Okay. So that is the external. We rolled back the tape, and we were on external auditor, but we're going to go forward to board election. We spoke about board election. There's fees that are going to be coming in the second half of the year. We spoke about outside legal. This is the six-month figure, and we're going to use this information to trend what's going to happen to the best of our professional ability for the budget cycle of 2017. Let's see, moving on. Property and liability insurance. This is a good example. The premium payments came in, and our budget is a straight 50%, so we're on the accrual basis. It would match up nicely. That's what I'm showing. We bought some additional insurance to protect our plan assets, so that's what is also more expense there. Let's see, over on the next page, we have a correction here. In training, there's a little dash called website development. Just please scratch that off. It's not like we didn't do any website development. We did plenty of website development, but there was a typo error in this document. But the training budget is at zero because some of that calculation is for our ongoing training of our CPAS knowledge and personnel so we can learn more and get more robust on that system. That's ongoing.
We're still on page one. How come our office rents went down 50%? We paid $400,000 in 2015 and then we're only paying half that in 2016. What do we do with the sell of the property?
Office rent went down 50%?
Yeah, if you look at page six, about three quarters to the bottom, office rent payments, $400,000. Actual is $382,000. And you go to page one, it's got a $200,000 for this year. Well, that's mid-year.
Yeah, that's mid-year. Actually, rent went up, really.
I'm sorry, I was going to ask my question, though. How's that? What's the difference that we sold the building?
Correct.
So there shouldn't be any difference in selling the building. There might be some additional CAM charges or something related to what they're doing with the building, but our us owning it versus us being just a tenant should not be. There shouldn't be any significant financial difference to this statement.
We were paying the rent to ourselves before.
Because we were paying rent to ourselves before.
Right. But that 204 times two.
Yeah, I got it now.
Okay. Okay, moving on down. And so moving on down to schedule, page three. Page three is the administrative schedule, the one that's subject to the cap. The point that I want to see is go to the end, page four, the grand total. trending at $4 million of actual expenditures against a budget of 4.6. So we're under budget by 546, which is a good sign.
Yes,
but the yes, sir?
Yes and no. If you go back then to OPEB, at least mid-year, we have a zero charge there. So that's at least $250,000 that was on the last year's budget.
Correct.
So, at least so we're really not, we're
right.
favorable, but we're half the amount favorable.
So correct. Correct. And this is the shot this of this, where we're at this moment, and that's you know part of the discussion process. So if we were to take that $200,000 that we saw earlier, and for the sake of budgeting, we use the same amount, mm-hmm. that would cut the variance in half.
Right.
Yes.
I just want to make sure, not speaking for Todd, but I want to make sure OPEB doesn't get lost in the shuffle. This is a real issue that needs to continue to be presented in its entirety.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah. part of the accrual discussion is where a lot of these items, you know, I want it to be said that the year's not closed. There's other calculations here that are missing. We got pluses and minuses going on. It's just a snapshot figure. And the process of the update and the discussion that I'm hearing is going to refine this process as we go on
okay.
a basis.
Yeah, I, you know, I'm sure the accountants would beat me up for this, but because I don't know if it's technically correct or not. But if we have expenditures or items that have a time effect, right? So if on a cash flow basis, your first 6 months look great, but the bill comes in September, it seems to me that the annual total ought to be done ratably. You can do it monthly so you get half here and half there. Otherwise, it's deceiving. I mean, and I'm not suggesting it was in the intent to deceive.
Misleading.
I'm just saying, yeah, it's misleading. It's deceiving, misleading. It's all those things.
Incomplete.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it is what it is. You know, you look at it, and then it takes all of the explanation. Well, the reason this is zero is because, you know, it'd be better to know if the expense is happening, then, okay, then we're going to rate it half here and half there. It's $500,000 a year. If we're looking at a six-month view, the first half shouldn't be zero.
Absolutely.
It doesn't make any sense. That's all. I would do that across the board.
We want to compare apples to apples instead of budget, no expense, and to discuss it later. And,
right.
Absolutely. That's part of the feedback that I'm hearing. This is my first shot at the podium, and this is
right.
really
no,
good,
yeah. This
valuable
isn't like,
information.
You know, the
pitchforks
and
so
torches or anything.
This is great.
This is a warm audience.
This is a warm audience.
Henry, whether or not you want to try and get to this, the other half of that is the recognition of prepaids. So that if we are paying in advance of the budget, okay, and we have several of these, you don't record the entire amount when paid as an expense. You record that amount to proportionally as recognized as service or time already spent, but you record as a prepaid the differential. That goes on the balance sheet, and you write that down over the balance of the period. And you, basically, that lines things up on both sides, both the expenditure side and the budget side.
Absolutely.
Do you asterisk those kind of things so we'll know? And seriously, would you normally asterisk it so we can say this was either prepaid or it's...
Well, and if you know, the question is how much...
Accuracy.
You want to get into the weeds and accuracy on this,
right.
and I'm not familiar with asterisks normally on doing it, but
well, one good example that
laughing
John,
at me. I'll come over.
I'm trying to be cautious on
so. One thing to keep in mind is that Sarah does book if there's a prepaid expense of some sort. It is booked typically. It's a 12/31 booking for the prior year. I mean, for the following year. It's same thing with accruals. I mean, if we're booking prepaids and accruals on a monthly basis, obviously we're able to have better, robust reporting to the board on how we're doing throughout the year. And I think that going forward, you know, we need to take a look at some of these practices and change it.
Well, it gives
this
us
is a more. And one thing I did want to mention is that compared to prior years, this is actually a more robust schedule compared to what you've received before for the part year. Where we're at versus budget. So, you know, there's still some tweaking, I think.
The goal, I guess, as a board member, is to have both columns as accurate as we can make them so that exactly what Scott was describing, we don't have lots of questions that have pretty basic answers that have to do with timing.
Absolutely.
You know, what we're looking at are real variances that are caused by we didn't hire somebody, we incurred expenses we didn't expect,
right.
Okay, et cetera, et cetera.
Stuff that matters.
Yes.
When you say actual, it could actually be, even though we haven't paid it, it could have been considered prepaid. It could still be in the actual.
No. Prepaid is going to come from an actual payment that, in fact, covers a period going forward as well as a period looking back.
Let's say we pay something in September. How would you put on the actual column the way you're talking about?
Well, if in that one-time payment, and we're going through the end of the year, you'd have paid it in September. You'd have 3 months, October, November, December. 3/12 would be a prepaid, and 9/12 would be a
current
expense.
On this year, like we did this up till June. So if we were paying a bill after June this year, we say it's a new bill as an example, what would you have in the actual column for it so it's part of
well,
the budget?
Well, up through June and the payments were zero, you'd have an accrual.
Of 6 months.
Correct.
I get that. I'm just wondering. Oh, go ahead.
Well, just to follow up on John's thought, spoken like a great CPA that he is. It's the amortization process.
Right.
A great example is insurance. You'll pay a one premium, and say it's in September for 12 months' worth. That payment, let's just say it's $20,000, we'll put the entire payment to a prepaid amortization account, and we'll divided by 1/12, and that'll be the actual expenditures, is the amortization.
Right.
So you get the right months and the right expenditures, and it'll follow the flow. But in your prepaid account, you'll have the part that's called unearned,
right.
Unexpended insurance.
Right.
Same thing with rent. You pay. You know. There's a lot of expenditures, but also there's some expenditures like conference costs, which are one timers, and so we're going to try and plan for those a little better on a quarterly basis. If we know that there's going to be membership fees or conference or training, specific training that's going to happen in quarter three and quarter four, we're going to try and budget when the expenses hit, as opposed to assume that it's a straight 50% budget.
If you had property taxes, and Belinda's going to get equal time to respond on this, you would have a very similar kind of pattern, where you pay the property tax either once or twice a year.
Right.
Okay, and part of it is an expense and part of it is a prepaid.
Yeah. Of course, if you're a cash basis taxpayer.
Well, cash basis, that's tax. That's yes. Not accounting.
I get that, as long as we'll be consistent with everything on that.
Yeah.
Then, right.
Yep.
Okay.
And again, not to get too far in the weeds, but I assume when we close.
Oh, go ahead.
Jerry, you don't need to make that disclosure anymore. We're there. We're there with
that.
Go ahead.
I'll just cut right to the chase. Do we close our books basically on 1/31?
December 31st.
Yeah, but if you've got some expenses.
The books are open for at least a couple months to time for expenses that are coming in later for the accrual process that
correct.
We spoke about.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, there are some accounts receivable that will be paid in 17 that will be charged to 2016, right?
Some accounts payable. There's going to be some receivable that's owed us at December 31st.
I'm talking about payables.
Right, but the payables, we take a look at the bills that if I get a bill in January, February, and it says this was for services rendered
to 12/31.
To 12/31, it shows in the actuals for 12/31. Because we accrue for
12. Yeah, for 12/16.
Right, right.
For
16. So probably the term that was missing is the blue sheets, the ones for 2015, they've been audited because the numbers have been examined and reviewed by Brown Armstrong on an accrual basis.
Okay.
The green ones for the 6 months should have had unaudited, because they're in the stage of being prepared, but they're going to get better.
Okay, in deference to Candace, I know she's double parked. I'm done.
No.
And I did want to say, you know, Henry joined Cesera in May, and he's really jumped in with both feet and handled a number of different projects and tasks, and this has been one of them. So I think he's done a good job in jumping in there to try and understand some of this. And I think it's something that over time you develop more of a nuanced approach to. But he has a good start.
Well, thank you, Gail. I appreciate that. But it's all good information for the board, and this is valid feedback that we're going to take back and we're going to improve.
Right.
And we're going to – and also the timing of it. We want it to be a little bit more frequent. Right after the year closes, when it's still fresh – in our discussion, and it's not so old. Okay? In the spirit of time, is there any questions regarding our numbers or our calculations? I know it's ongoing. I know there's a lot of information, but part of this, the strategy is to summarize everything.
It was helpful. We couldn't give you a pass. That's why we asked.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, really. And kudos to the attorneys in the room. They're some of my greatest allies.
Jeez.
Okay. And that, well, that concludes our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry.
Nicely done.
We had to wait for that hidden gem. Yeah.